Will you pray with me, please? Precious Father, how grateful we are that you have given us your written word. We pray now that you will speak to us from your word as your Holy Spirit communes with us here. And as the love of Christ that dwells within each of our hearts flows between us, how grateful we are to be your people and how grateful we are that you are our God. We thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Last Sunday, I shared with you that I wonder how often through the course of each day that we suddenly realize that what we're observing is God at work in our lives to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yes, we who believe know that God always has our best interest at heart, but do we consciously, actually, actively look for and see his hand as he lovingly devotes himself to our well-being, pouring out his mercy, grace, and love into our lives? This morning, for the second time, I would like to review a subject that of late seems to have become placed on the back burner of most churches that espouse an orthodox set of Christian beliefs. It seems almost incomprehensible that this has happened, and yet more and more churches place an emphasis on physical tasks that have a great outward notoriety rather than focusing on those inward principles that God has declared are the most important. I invite you to join with me and hear these words from the Apostle Paul as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. This is what the Apostle wrote. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you've been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. As you no doubt heard in writing to the Christians gathered in the Church of Corinth, Paul begins this letter with words that acknowledge the work that God is doing in them through the power of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Since Paul will all too soon, in the latter part of this particular letter, declare his disappointment in some of what's going on in this fledgling church, it's important to note that Paul is wise enough to begin with a more positive tone. Even though Paul is writing to bring about a correction in the lives of these new believers, the point of this passage that I read to you is to ignite within the hearts and minds of those who read Paul's words a strong sense of the overwhelming power of God. Not only is God powerful beyond our human ability to conceive or imagine that power, God has given that power to his Son and through his Son to us. As I touched on last Sunday, the question we must strive to answer is how to allow that God-given power to engage with our human activities and grant us the ability to become a means of retransmitting that power for the good of all individuals, and particularly for the good of those who come in contact with us, but all the more importantly, for the good of all those who may come in contact with us as a body of believers, that is, those who come in contact with us as a church. As I shared with you last week, God intends the church to be a powerhouse. You'll remember that I shared with you that a powerhouse is where a large electric motor, or originally a large steam turbine, turns a mechanism that transmits mechanical power to cause the oil jacks to pump the oil from the ground. So a powerhouse is a central place where energy to do work is produced. Through far too many Orthodox evangelical Christian churches, we see that they seem to have lost the vision for this fact, that God expects His church to be a powerhouse that causes the work of His kingdom to flow outward and have a huge effect on society. Here at Redeemer, we often find ourselves bemoaning the fact that we're a small group, and yet God expects us to be His powerhouse. So how do we become what God expects us to become? As I shared with you last week, God's desire for us is found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." God is urging us to seek Him. In fact, He urges us to seek Him with all our hearts. And that, my dear ones, is what creating a powerhouse within the church is all about. Each day, as we go through our normal activities of our day, God is always present. He loves us. He cares for us. He protects us. He guides us. He gives us the inner sense of His presence through the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. Thus, there are no coincidences in the lives of believers. Nothing happens by mere chance. We are not the beneficiaries of happenstance. God urges us to seek Him, knowing that if we seek Him diligently with all four of our human modalities, heart, soul, mind, and strength, or emotional, physical, spiritual, intellectual, He will be found. And when we find God at work in our lives, we build confidence in the reality of Christ's presence, and we develop the actual fuel for the powerhouse that God wants His church to become. Once again, please note this passage of Scripture from Isaiah 56, verse 7, as the prophet Isaiah shares these words from God: "My house shall be called a house of prayer." As I shared with you last Sunday, it's quite interesting that all three of the synoptic gospels quote Jesus repeating these same words. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, Mark chapter 11, verse 17, and Luke chapter 19, verse 46. In each of these three cases, the gospel writers record the occasion when Jesus cleansed the temple. And the basis of His cleansing was that the temple had become everything but a house of prayer. God intends His church to become a house of prayer. In fact, I will be so bold to suggest, once again, as I did last week, that God wants His church to become a powerhouse of prayer. As I mentioned earlier, we here at Redeemer often lament the fact that we're so few in number. We ask, what can we possibly do to impact our world for Christ and for His kingdom? And I believe the answer to that question lies in the reality that we at Redeemer can become a powerhouse of prayer. In a sentence, what I'm sharing with you today, God has declared that His church shall become a place of great power in prayer. Again, God has declared that His church shall become a place of great power in prayer. A reasonable question to ask is, how do we become a powerhouse of prayer? Fortunately, our session has already begun the process of tackling this problem and offering a possible solution in the first church goal and set of enabling objectives for 2023. I'm reading now from a document that Session adopted at its regular meeting this past Tuesday evening, and which happens to be available for you to read in our weekly e-newsletter. And if you happen to be someone who does not yet receive this weekly e-newsletter on each Thursday morning, I urge you to go to our church website, click on the e-newsletter menu tab on the left side of the homepage, scroll down, and sign up to receive this weekly document. Here's what the first part of the aforementioned document states. Goal 1 for 2023, prayer. Striving to become more and more a people of prayer. Enabling objectives or how-tos. First, commit to pray daily for the needs of our individual family members. 2, commit to pray daily for the people whom God brings across the pathway of our lives who share their needs with us. 3, commit to pray daily for God to bring people into our lives who are open to having us share the good news of Jesus Christ. 4, commit to pray daily for the missions and missionaries that Redeemer Presbyterian Church supports. 5, commit to pray daily for the work God is doing through missions and missionaries from all sending organizations that support authentic and orthodox Christian beliefs. 6, commit to pray daily for the needs of Redeemer Presbyterian Church, for the members of Session, for the chairs of our committees, and for our monthly prayer focus. 7, commit to pray daily for the needs of the Presbytery of the Alleghenies and the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And 8, commit to pray daily for the needs of our cities, townships, county, commonwealth, nation, and the world. In the next few moments, let's examine each of these one by one. First of all, commit to pray daily for the needs of our individual family members. It's important that we make certain that we make an effort to discover the genuine needs that our family members actually have. Oh, I know that most of us believe we know our family members quite well. But do we really listen to what our family members may tell us both verbally and non-verbally? Instead of trying to imagine what needs they may have and running the risk of imposing upon them our perception of their needs rather than a recitation of the needs they genuinely believe they have, we need to make every effort to establish and maintain clear, open, accepting lines of communication with these dear ones whom we love. Then, and only then, will we be able to learn from them the best way we can pray, asking God to meet their genuine needs. Number 2, commit to pray daily for the people whom God brings across the pathway of our lives, who share their needs with us. Every day, as we move through our daily lives, God brings people across the pathway of our lives. Do we pay attention to those whom God has chosen to bring to us? Are we open to sensing the leading of the Holy Spirit as He reveals to us the needs that these folks who may appear as random path crossers may have? When the Holy Spirit nudges us to ask a question or respond to a statement these individuals may make, do we do as God desires? Then, when a need is revealed to us, do we take notice of that need and commit to pray fervently for God to meet that need? Number 3, commit to pray daily for God to bring people into our lives who are open to having us share the good news of Jesus Christ. Since we know that God does indeed choose to bring people into our lives, do we pray asking God to specifically bring people across the pathway of our lives with whom He wishes to use us as instruments of His mercy, grace, and love, as we share with them what he means to us, what he has done for us, and why we have come to recognize the great gift he has given us of salvation through his son Jesus. Certainly we can pray and ask God to allow us the great privilege of sharing with specific people the good news. Number four, commit to pray daily for the missions and missionaries that Redeemer Presbyterian Church supports. Our dearly loved Redeemer Church has the privilege of supporting a number of missionaries and missions endeavors, both in our immediate area and around the world. An important part of our commitment to helping those who've devoted their lives to sharing the gospel is to pray for them. Likewise, it's important that we pray for those missions organizations that we support, asking God to meet the needs they have and give them protection and blessing that they must have to do the work to which God has called them. So we need to familiarize ourselves with each missionary and each missions organization and commit to pray for them. Number five, commit to pray daily for the work God is doing through missions and missionaries from all sending organizations that support an authentic and orthodox set of Christian beliefs. As we pray for the missionaries and missions organizations that we support, we should also recognize and pray for all the individuals and organizations that God is using to spread the life-transforming power of his good news throughout our city and townships, our state, the nation, and the world. Number six, commit to pray daily for the needs of Redeemer Presbyterian Church, for the members of session, for the chairs of our committees, and for our monthly prayer focus. As we pray, we must remember the needs of our own Redeemer Church and those who lead us, as well as the monthly prayer focus. Our faithfulness in prayer is the single source of power that God has given us to enable us to serve him in the way he wants us to serve. Number seven, commit to pray daily for the needs of the Presbytery of the Alleghenies and the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. As Presbyterians, we are by definition a connectional part of the body of Christ. Thus, as we pray, we need to pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to enable our Presbytery of the Alleghenies and our Evangelical Presbyterian Church denomination to fulfill the calling that God has given them. We are intimately connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ who belong to the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. Therefore, we obviously and absolutely must pray for each other. And finally, number eight, commit to pray daily for the needs of our city, townships, county, commonwealth, nation, and the world. We must recognize that even though we live in a society that more and more has turned its back on God and has even come to a place where believers like us are ridiculed in the public square, God has instructed us to pray for those who lead our cities and townships, our state, and our nation. We must respond to God's instruction by earnestly praying for those leaders and for the needs of the nation in which we live. So there we have it, a pathway toward becoming a powerhouse of prayer. And it's more than us agreeing to pray individually. We must strive to locate and specifically set aside a time that will allow us to join together in significant corporate prayer. God releases great power when his people pray together. Some have suggested that Redeemer people remain unwilling, for a long list of varying reasons, to set a specific time to come together and pray. I hope that's not the case. In the days ahead, we absolutely must find a time when we can gather for corporate prayer as a regular part of our ministry. As a powerhouse of prayer, we will fulfill one of God's great delights. My house, God declares, shall be a house of prayer. May that be so here at Redeemer Presbyterian Church. Amen.